You're really going to be surprised when you hear what I'm preaching on today. Yeah. It's good. Well, Shannon's not here this morning, so bear with me. This is our bulletin. You should get one and read it. Because there's things that happen that you don't want to miss. It's Maggie's birthday. Coming up. Is that tomorrow? It's today. My watch is wrong. Is it the 20th? Is today the 20th? I know. Happy birthday, Maggie. What else is on here? One announcement, there's no high school youth group tomorrow because the course crew is going on a retreat. So that's not happening tomorrow night. They probably will. They'll all know what's going on, but just for all of you guys to know. Sorry, I'm trying to figure out what is important to mention. Read this thing. It's got all kinds of good things going on. Sheree has an announcement. She does, right? Yes. Okay, good. And that'll give me a little more time to make sure I didn't forget anything.
I am so excited. Thank you, Fenton. That was a great intro. today's the prophetic act right after church. I know a lot of you pastors aren't going to be able to come, but that's okay. If you can bear the mud and I think the sun's going to be shining, actually. A lot of people have asked me what a prophetic act is. It is biblical. Most of it in the Bible has been kind of negative. Like there's a lot of things, like when Ezekiel had to cut his hair. Remember that? And that was their pride and joy. And he had to cut his hair and his beard. And they separated into three, divided into three, I don't know what you would call it, bunches of hair. And so that was a prophetic act. And one was when Elijah told Josh to shoot an arrow through the window, and that was to signify victory over Aram. So in our culture, it's become something I think the Lord loves for us to do to activate the heavens over the land. And we New Song is all about praying for the land and the nation and this region. We really believe that God uses this church and these people to bring in a spirit of revival, and that's where it all stems from. So today, after church, we're going to go and do a prophetic act. We're just going to pray. We're going to build a little rock tower. I got some little surprises for whoever wants to come, and just pray that. Well, where it started is that Emily showed us a vision. She shared a vision with us at New Song, and it was about this huge angel that came and drove this sword into the ground. And as it broke open the ground, there was like ripples of living waters, I call it, coming out over the land, and it was blessing. And I see the breaking off of the drought and all that kind of thing. And so we thought we would kind of act on that. And I just hope you can come, and if you can't come, just keep that thought in your prayer this coming week, because God's doing some stuff here. It's important. We're going to change the, we were going to try to walk down where she actually saw the vision take place, which is down there by all the waters that go every which way down by the river in Douglas City. But instead we're going to meet, because it's really muddy, we're going to meet behind the fire station by that big tower like thing, and keep it easy so we don't hurt ourselves in the mud. Okay? All right. Thanks. So I hope you're there.
Thank you. So we have this last week was Thursday, actually, was our last day of our course season, and we brought right around 2,000 students, both from Reading BSSM students and from the Coast BSSD students. And we're able to do all that mostly in part to a group of our staff. Some of them are here seasonal, which are already gone, and the other ones are here. And so would you guys come up here? Hopefully you know. You got my text, I hope. Come up here. Yeah. So, there's a couple that aren't here that are missing, but I asked these guys to come up here. First, I want to just thank those of you that were able to come out and have dinner with us and hear what's going on and listen to what's happening. But a lot of the, it's my heart that the, what's happening here during this season, that you guys get to know about it. That you guys get to experience it. And because there's something pretty amazing that's happening, and every time I get to sit in here for dinner, I'm humbled by it, and you're going to hear some of that from these guys. But it's the fact that this little place, this little church, this little program that we have going on is not metaphorically, but actually stretching out and changing the world. It's literally, that's not metaphorically. It's literally people from, I think there's, I don't know how many, because that's going to be, I won't guess. But a whole bunch of different countries, a whole bunch of different states, a whole bunch of different languages are coming here, and their lives, the direction of their lives, or how they used to think, or what they used to think about themselves, or about the church, or about ministry, or about God, or whatever. They're having these encounters, and their lives are changing. And how many of you guys know when your life changes, wherever you go after that, the opportunity for that situation, that environment to change. And so it's literally, we get the privilege and honor to influence the world through this program. It's just amazing to me. I wanted to share, I'll start, and then I'm going to let these guys share some of their experiences and favorite testimonies and things. But one was just a couple nights ago, and this younger woman was standing up at dinner time. We share testimonies, so people would share about their day. This young woman stood up and talked about her father had recently passed away. And she wasn't home at the time. It was fairly broken English, so I didn't get to understand the whole thing. But the gist of it is that we do this thing where they walk around blindfolded. They get led blindfolded. And she had this encounter. She was just walking on the property with a partner. We lead him around, and she had this encounter. She's blindfolded, and the Holy Spirit shows up, and she just has this encounter with the Holy Spirit and her father who had passed away. And she gets to, in this vision, well, she's completely awake, obviously, but she's blindfolded. In this vision, she gets to say goodbye to her father, to hug her father, and she's crying, and she's having this encounter with the Holy Spirit and her father who's passed away. And wherever that lands in your theology, but basically, she comes in and she's telling the story and she starts crying. And she's got peace, this inner life, and the way she's able to move forward, not chained to this. She just got the Holy Spirit came and just sozoed her right there, and it was just amazing to me. I thought, and that we didn't do that. Like we didn't. I mean, we just can't. There's nothing we could do to make something like that happen. Like all we did was put a blindfold on her. So. The Holy Spirit's been so faithful to show up. So, you guys can speak in whatever you're closest to me, so you can go first if you want. But, yeah.
I'm really stoked that Cameron's doing this, because when Kathy was talking the other week about reaching the world, I was like, I smiled to myself because I said, this church already is. These testimonies, they're your reward. This is, you stewarded Chris well. You stewarded what was going on well. They send them up to here, and you steward us well so that we can do what it is that we do. So these testimonies are yours. They're awesome. Every continent except Antarctica comes through here. It's amazing. So my favorite testimony, I think, is a girl from Thailand. She came up to me all bubbling and super excited, and she said, you know what? 3 years ago, I came through here, and one of the people on staff had facilitated her in such a way, it was a guy, that she got a new grasp on the Father's love and how the Father interacts with her. And she said, I'd never seen or understood that. And she had this crazy encounter in her first year. She said it totally changed the direction of her life, changed what it is that she's doing. She said she's got this burning thing now for Thailand, but she's taking that back. She said, this is going to change Thailand. because of the encounter she had here. So she's super excited about it. And it was just one of the staff loving her in the way that God loves them, which is awesome.
My favorite testimony was I just worked the ropes course, not the ground portion at all. So we dealt with like a lot of people being really afraid and having to work through that. But one of the most amazing things for me to see was people being able to be weak and vulnerable. And that's kind of what the last 2 years of my life has been, is being weak and putting my needs in front of my families a lot of times and people around me. And I just got to see other people walking through that in a smaller way, but it really just spoke to me, and had a lot of groups pray over me about that. And it was just really awesome experience for me to be able to kind of go through that same thing that people in my groups were going through.
All right, I'm Oli. I also facilitate on the course. My favorite memory of this year was that... Is that funny, Jonathan? Or Daniel? there was this lady who came from India, and that was really cool, talking with her. Her name was Susie. She went through the lower part of the course, and by the end was pretty tired and weak, but she felt kind of pressured to do the top. So we got over to the big net that's on the far end, and she was you can kind of see the look in people's face when they're like, you know, they don't want to go up. So I asked how she was doing, and she was just open and said, well, I feel like I'm too weak, I don't think I can do it. But she felt pressured too, not from anybody, but from herself. So we just encourage her that she can choose to say no, and that's okay, and we love her. And she decided not to, and what she said was, wow, I never knew I would feel so loved by saying no to do something. And I think that's pretty valuable, because you know, a lot of times in life you can feel pressured into things, and it might actually be violating yourself, and you could disrespect yourself by doing that. But by saying no, you're showing yourself love. But also in a community like this, everyone gets to put the arms around you and support you as well. So I thought that was awesome for her to say no, and that she knew that she'd be loved whether she says yes or no. And so, yeah.
Hey guys, the number one test, my name is Gio. Hey guys. So my favorite testimony that stuck with me this season was, it was an older lady, probably like in her 70s somewhere. And actually, she had warned me a lot before she stepped onto the course that she had been paralyzed for most of her life. She had been in a wheelchair for most of her life. And actually, one of her legs was still very stiff. She can barely bend it, probably just like about that much. She could only really use one. So she had warned me, if she falls, I'm going to have to get her down right away. So I have the rescue bag ready to go and everything the whole time. And I expect her to maybe get like halfway through one of the levels. And I was guiding her through it. And she completed the first whole level, surprisingly. And she decided to go to the top as well. She still had enough energy. And the whole time she actually fell 3 times, got up by herself, and was able to complete the whole thing. And I was so amazed, and yeah, I was shocked that somebody with that kind of history was able to complete the whole thing with ease. She wasn't tired or fatigued at the end. She wanted to do it again, I think, what she wanted to do. It's amazing. Yep.
Hi, guys. I think one of my favorite times of the course with, I guess, well, not being out on the course, but being in the kitchen, I feel like I was able to receive more from the people around me than just, like, having experiences with the students. For example, we had this one pastor with the dreads. He was, like, what was his name?
Richard.
And he was cool. He was, like, serving Denise and I, and he just kept praising us and praying for us and bringing us out, and just the way he served us and like cleaned up pretty much, his group pretty much cleaned up everything for us. It was just a really new experience for us because we just do a lot of work back there. And so just to have him be so humble and so thankful and just like prophesying over us, it was just a really cool experience to be served back when we do a lot of the serving. So, and then to go along with that, just having Denise with me throughout the whole season was the best. We just laugh in the kitchen so much. And I have been pretty emotional with being pregnant and stuff, so it has been up and down, but she's just been, like, so amazing and so motherly and just constant support and just able to have fun back there. So I think that was also one of my favorite experiences.
All right, well, being in the kitchen, we don't get to, I had to leave early this year. I had to leave before the testimonies really got started, so I didn't get to hear a whole lot of what went on. But like Sarah was saying, that the one group with the Richard, the pastor, they called us out and prophesied over us. And I've been estranged from my youngest son for about 2.5 years. And on Veterans Day, I just decided to send him a little message and say, thank you for your service, and I miss you. And I got this tirade back from his girlfriend, and I was really upset. And Richard's group called us out to prophesy over us, and one of the students came to me and said, God is restoring your family and your children to you. And the next day, my son texted me, and just like nothing ever happened. Yeah. And, yeah. Yes. Thank you, Lord. And it's just been really a great year, you know, having the opportunity to serve the kids and just to be with Sarah in the kitchen and with everybody on the crew to come in and say howdy and laugh and have some candy. It's been a great year.
It has been a great year. It has been a real good year. But I'm Jonathan, in case you don't know. I did the chorus as well. That's why I'm up here. Otherwise, I guess I wouldn't be up here. But I know. One of my favorite testimonies, it's crazy how the Lord, when we welcome him in this environment and on the chorus, and how he just shows up and speaks to people. So it's amazing. The natural becomes the supernatural just because we've become aware of him. It's kind of a cool little thing how the Holy Spirit does that. But I was on the course and I was on the bottom. As you know, we have the top section and the bottom section, and the bottom section's like 12 feet in the air. It's not that high. So it's kind of a good beginner level if people are a little scared. But I had this one group, and this one girl did not want to get on there at all. And so we're like, well, let's do the bottom first. And we start going, and she is so shaky, the bottom, that first one we go, I think we have 1, 2, 3 obstacles that we have to do 3 different things. And usually after the first one, they level out, and they're like, okay, I can do this. I've fallen. I can do this. But she didn't. She just kept getting worse and worse. And so we got to the last one. I don't know why I did this, but I think I made them race, which is probably not a good idea if you have someone that's scared. But I think we had to get across. So I was like, we're going to race, and we're going to go backwards, and we're on wires. And so I probably didn't, it keeps it exciting. And so I was on her team. We had 2 teams, and I was on this one girl's team that was so scared. And I said, here, she was like freaking out. So I said, here, put your hands on my back, and we're going to walk backwards, because we had to go back, and we were racing. And pretty much we got smoked. The other team just destroyed us, from what I can remember. But she was sitting there, and she was freaking out. She was just about to fall. And I said, hey, you can just grab a hold of me. Just hold on to me. You can, you can wrap your arms around me if you want. You know, don't worry. That's totally fine. That's not uncomfortable or anything. So she like bear hugged me and kept walking back. We, all this stuff. We made it to the podium. I was like, that was great. And all this stuff. We finally get down, and she's like, I don't want to go to the top. I don't think she went to the top. So we do testimonies, and she comes, and she's sharing, and she's like, she starts crying, and I'm sitting there like, oh, yeah, that's her. And she's saying, man, that reminded me so much of my brother, that I could just, be with my brother when Jonathan let me just grab him and all this stuff. And I'm thinking, well, you just need to balance. I was just helping you balance. I didn't think anything of it. And so I was like, that's pretty cool. I'm like, I don't know why she's crying, though. I mean, that's pretty cool that I reminded her of her brother, but pretty cool. And then so about 2 minutes later, this girl comes up to me and says, you probably don't know why she was crying, why that was so important. And I was like, No, I mean, maybe she was just a little emotional. I don't know. And she said, well, her brother just committed suicide right before she came to BSSM. And I went, whoa. And then she came up to me later and said the same thing. And she said, thank you so much. That meant a lot, that it was like, my brother, I got to just, you for a second, the Holy Spirit just kind of made you my brother just for a second. And it was like, I had a brother again. And so it was just pretty neat that something as simple as that, the Holy Spirit just used. And it just meant the world to her. And she's like, I'm not going on the course next year. But she had a great time. She was like, that was enough for me. But still, you know, it was pretty neat. But it was one of my favorite testimonies.
Yes, so like 2 or 3 years ago, before we left the first time, there was a group of students that were coming up to do a city service project from Bethel. And I got to know this young man that was coming up. His name was Dean, and he was from South Africa. And over the course of the whole school year, got to know him, and he's like, man, this was just, he was a really stellar guy. And I've met so many people at Bethel that are just super stellar, but then they end up going home to Wells or Puerto Rico or wherever. And you don't, like, you're not really ever going to see him again is kind of the feeling you have. And this Andrea texted me one of the days, and she's like, Dean's here. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. And Dean is a revival group pastor now. So he had been coming up here his first year for a whole season, and now he's a revival group pastor. And it was so cool to see him make that transition, and now he's leading one of the groups of students and came up here. And it was just a super awesome moment that you never know how you're affecting people and how much, what the authority the Lord's going to give them later on. And so that was just a kind of a quick one. And then I wanted to speak generally of my experience on the course. And everyone has kind of touched on this, but it's really amazing to watch a person that is completely terrified of anything and be able to harness that in a way that they go through the course. And it might cause their body to shake. And they're just doing all kinds of things that they're freaking out. And you're like, and you're aware of it, and you're like, are you ready to be done? Because you're like, generally, you don't like watching people, you know, be in a state of complete panic or of just fear. And they're like, no, I want to keep going. And you ask them again, and they're like, no, I want to keep going. And then they finish the course, and they get down, and they have this just amazing testimony of pressing through fear and choosing faith, even though fear is affecting them so powerfully that it's causing their body to shake. And I've seen it happen so many different times. And after it gets done, we have a little debrief as the group that you worked with, and we get to talk about it. And you get to say things like, remember, say his name was Steve, remember Steve and how he pressed through that, and take that into your daily life. And anytime you face fear, you're like, remember Steve. And fear was making him shake so powerfully, but he chose faith even in that moment. And it just is such a neat thing to see over and over again.
Fun times. So thank you guys. And I just want to publicly acknowledge these guys, the Dream Team, that my job was so easy because I had such an awesome crew of people. So if we can give them a round of applause, that's the least we can do. Thank you guys. Stinking awesome.
So, I want to say one thing just about Tim, too. You can stand here sheepishly, Tim. Yeah, awkwardly, just stand there. Directing this whole thing, which is what Tim's job is a challenge for the last 30, what, how many days? 32 days or something? Do you know? Sure. For 32 days over the last 2.5 months, we've got somewhere between 60 and 75 students. I want to say kids, but half of them are older than I am. So, students that come for an experience, they come for an encounter, they come, and some of them are really excited, and some of them are really nervous and scared, and Tim, I know he doesn't give himself this much credit, but Tim welcomes them in amongst the team, but is creates an atmosphere, he greets them every morning and walks them through. You know, we have some of them, like I said, that are really excited to be here, and some of them wish they weren't. And he gets to walk them through this whole thing of challenging themselves and stepping out and doing this whole thing. And that's just the culture part. And then there's the maintaining the, making sure we have enough people here to actually do what it is that we're supposed to do, scheduling. And then I haven't been told this, but I know that it's true, that our team feels loved and cared for by Tim. Now, I don't know how many people you've all worked for, but to feel loved and cared for by your boss is really valuable and speaks really highly of his or her, in this case, his heart and his ability to leave. And doesn't mean that, you know, there were people who didn't get grounded from the quad for driving it poorly. It doesn't mean there's not correction. It doesn't mean there's not things that have to be dealt with and cleaned up and all that stuff. But in all of that, the overlining feeling that your staff has for you is feeling loved and cared for, which is really amazing. And you guys, as myself included, this church is blessed beyond measure to have Tim directing this program. And so would you guys just stand and just honor Tim for what he's given? Yeah. Awesome. And not all of you guys probably know this, but he puts in a lot of like 15, 16 hour days because he has to be here all the time. Basically from before they get here to after they leave to lock up, all that falls on him. And so if you've ever been the boss of anything, you know that that's what you got to do. And so he's going to take about a week and a half nap now. Yeah, I doubt it. And in that, he had a baby, too. Anna helped a little bit. Just kidding. Yeah. Just amazing. Yeah, and thanks to Anna. I don't know where you are, Anna, but I haven't seen you. She's probably in the nursery or something. But thanks to Anna, too, for giving up her husband for a month, 2.5 months. Amazing. All right. I don't have a whole bunch of time, but what I need to say I think is important and valuable, and I'm going to kind of say it quickly, but would you guys do something for me first? Would you guys extend your hands? I want you to pray for me. I'm just going to pray that God, that you just give me wisdom and grace and peace and the right words to speak from my heart and from your heart. Amen. Thank you. Appreciate that. Fenton mentioned this a little bit, which was awesome, Fenton. Good job. And it's on a lot of our minds. The condition, the current condition of our country after the recent election. And, you know, our country is in the process of being and in the middle of being ripped down the middle, at least population wise and opinion wise. For a while I've kind of taken a break from, not a full break, but just not getting on Facebook or anything like that, just because of the hate that's spewed out. And I haven't really addressed it much, but felt like something that I just wanted to say and share my heart. And really as the pastor of a group of people. And there's this cry, this division that's happening between us and them and us, whichever side you're on. And it's become this battle cry that there's this other group of people different from us, whichever, me. And everyone's at some level, at least nationwide, even globally, has chosen a side and an opinion to stand on, and passionately, and which isn't necessarily wrong, but the fact is that division is something that's at the forefront of most conversations. And whether you feel like you have won, your team has won, or whether you feel like your team has lost in the last this recent election, there's a division, there's an awareness. And I want us to remember that those people, whether you find yourself on either side of that, those people, the other ones, the people that we lost to, the people that we won, the people that we, however you, wherever you find yourself, they're your neighbors, they're your friends, they're your church congregation, they're the people around you. And I've been in the church, pretty much my whole life, but I've been in ministry, working in the church for 20 years. And I've never seen political division come so far and strong into the church. Now, it comes in, of course, and things blow up, but it's this division thing has wedged itself in, and some levels it's kind of an elephant in the room that, for those of you that have been here for any length of time, I don't talk about politics, I don't talk about the election, it's not something I do, but it's so a part of our lives that we need to be aware of its presence even in this group of people. And I want you to remember each other with compassion. Remember, it's funny. Well, maybe it's not funny, it's the wrong word. I've got my filter on like high. Because people's hearts and where people are really what's most important to me. I know this might surprise some of you, but everyone in this room doesn't think like you or agree with you. Might come as a surprise, but I say that kind of jokingly, but kind of at the same time remembering and realizing that when you speak, people hear you. And that sometimes I think we, in speaking for ourselves, we sometimes think that God thinks like us. We sometimes think that the line between the way we think and the way He thinks gets blurry. And that if I think like this and I am a believer, then God must be thinking the same thing. And I want to tell you that that's rarely true. And I want to just say, be careful when you, even if it's indirectly, maybe just rethink or think through, put a filter on, so to speak, that when you speak for the Lord, when you speak for His intentions, or you speak for His plans, or you speak for His, be careful. Because there's someone that thinks different from you, that has different understanding and different opinion, that actually is thinking the same thing but opposite. And when we throw something into the room, when we drive a stake into the room and drive a stake into the, we create and we invest and we partner with division. And I think the challenge is oftentimes we just don't know. We don't understand. Because really the natural case is to think that people think like me, because we mostly think we're intelligent. Sometimes we have those revelations that we don't know things, but most of the time we think we do. We like our opinion. I'm speaking about myself. Someone said, you have an opinion about everything. This is like last week, we were sitting out there with our crew. I said, you have an opinion about everything. That's true. I do. Like, ask me. Even if I didn't have an opinion about it, as soon as you have a question, I'll formulate an opinion. We all have an opinion about everything. And some of us are more passionate about our opinion than others, or passionate about some opinions than others. But it's so important that you remember your opinion is not shared by God. Sometimes it is. Sometimes they line up. But more often than not, we know in part. And especially in this room, especially in church, especially when the goal, and I'm going to share a little bit about, but the goal and the purpose is to pursue the Lord together, our political opinions and what we stand on and the stakes we drive into the room, instead of creating unity, create division. Psalms 100 says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. And many of us are going to sit at a table with people that we don't sit at tables with every evening for dinner. And that would be our gathered family. We'll either gather our immediate family or people we call family or whatever. Whether you're at, you know, the Thanksgiving dinner in the community, or whether you're with your own family, I can almost guarantee you what we're talking about today is going to be true. There's going to be people sitting around that table that don't agree with you and don't agree with your opinion, don't agree with your stance or your interpretation or your passion about what should or shouldn't have happened. But this group, this is our purpose. Psalms 100, this is our purpose. To turn our faces and shout for joy and sing and praise, and to position ourselves in such a way that the source, the roots and the core values and the source of our love comes from the understanding and the knowledge that the Lord is good, the Lord is God, and it's He who made us. We are His, and we are His people, the sheep of His pasture. The next verse after that, 5, after the one I just read, it says, for the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Listen, I know that it was really interesting trying to write this message out because I'm me. And I have an opinion, and I have a stance, and to try and write a message completely void of political opinions is pretty much not, it's just impossible. So really, if I can't get rid of them, I have to just be aware. Be aware of what I think, be aware of where I stand, be aware of how I see the world, because it affects how I talk and how I teach and how I stand and how I address. But the fact is I have a responsibility as a pastor to lead, or at least understand and to lead all groups of people. And so this is our place, but I want to speak to both sides of this division that's happening here, whether you feel like you, for lack of a better word, whether you feel like you lost or whether you feel like you won a week and a half ago. The joy, the ability to be thankful, gladness, all the things that it speaks of in Psalms 100 can't come from that. Our celebration as much as our grief. We have people on both sides that are celebrating and excited about what they think is going to happen next. And we have people that are grieved and nervous and feel like we're headed in the wrong direction. Both of those groups of people are represented in this room. And neither of those things can be the source of our joy, our thankfulness, or our praise. I propose to you that if your joy and great, that all of that is coming from your celebration that Donald Trump is the president-elect, I want to propose that possibly your roots aren't going deep enough for water. And if you're on the side where you're scared and nervous and feels like we're going the wrong direction and all of the things that are there, I want to propose to you that it's a great time to send those roots deep. Understand that no matter what side you're on of the winning or losing, if you don't have the ability to come to the center and say that He's the source of our praise, of our thanksgiving, and of our joy, we might have a problem. I recently had a conversation with somebody that just checking. Yeah, I recently had a conversation with somebody that sat through most of a day of training for the state for LGBTQ training, sensitivity training, and this person is a believer, and it was a challenging training to sit through for them, but probably not because of why you first think. Actually, in the conversation with them that I got to sit in, they came out grieved and troubled and with a little bit of shame that they had to get rid of. And not because of why you think. Actually, a lot of this class, or at least a portion of it, was some history. And realizing that in the 70s and 80s, the hate and division and rejection from the Christian community poured into a lot of the challenges that we now face. And they were grieved by their own history, by the way that popular Christians treated people they didn't agree with. And in that time, they drove a spike deep into the ground. A spike of division and separation and hate. And I'll tell you that no one should ever have to fight to be treated like a person. Whether you agree with them, their lifestyle, their opinions, no one should ever have to fight to be treated like a person. No one should ever have to fight to be loved. Now, I understand that, and I agree with, well, I believe that we've swung really far. In a lot of ways, and a lot of things have become a little bit ridiculous. But the fact is that it came out of this original fight to just be a person. I use this example because we have a moment in history not that much unlike this. To where instead of loving and embracing and understanding the people we disagree with, we drive a stake of division and separation into the ground. And I want to tell you that as believers especially, be careful. careful because you have no right. If you're serving the kingdom, if you're claiming the kingdom, if you're claiming Jesus as someone you're following, you have no right to drive a stake of division into the body of Christ, into the world. Be careful how you treat people. Be careful how you talk about people. Be careful how you bring politics into your relationships, how you bring politics into your Thanksgiving family table. Because there's people that are grieving and not excited. And there's people that are excited. You guys okay? I know it's a little heavy. I'm sorry. I feel like I should tell a joke, but I don't have one. Okay. When a tree draws from a temporal water source, it has a higher chance of dying during a drought. I got some trees on my property that for years, as far as I know, what I was told is there's this spring that comes out from the bank. And it's a bunch of trees that are right near it. And their roots obviously rely on this because it was always there. Or at least it was there for a long time. They're not huge trees, but they're probably 20 and younger. And over the last 2 years of this, the drought, that thing dried up, stopped flowing. And so what happens, of course, those trees die. But there's one tree that is bigger. It's probably this big around. It's maybe 50 years old. And it seems to be fine. And I don't know if that, I don't know. For me, I was like, man, I wonder if that tree was here first. And so its roots went down deep enough to find the water it needed to live in this place. But then these other trees, they started pulling their water from surface water. And so when the conditions changed, they died. And I want to propose to you that this verse, Psalms 100, is deep roots. It's our ability to, no matter what the situation, whether we're in drought or whether in, I feel like we're moving into this season of lots of water. I mean, in the natural, I'm not talking about in that connection to the political. I'm saying in the natural, we're moving into a season where lots of little trees are going to be sprouting up because the groundwater is going to be more. That's what I think. But the challenge is those trees, if they don't go deep, if their roots don't get deep to a eternal, for lack of a better word, an eternal water source, when the conditions change, the trees can't survive. I propose to you that we need to be Christians with deep roots. Because the conditions, especially now back to political, the political conditions of our country will change. Now, your opinion of where we are might be drought. It might be plentiful groundwater, depending on your opinion and your stance. But if by whatever means, if you feel like we're in a drought, it's a great time to send your roots deep. If you feel like it's raining and this is great and this is wonderful, don't stay on the surface. Don't be tempted to pull all your joy and celebration and because it's going to change. It always changes. 1 Peter 3:9 says, "Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing." Philippians 4:6 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." These verses aren't about people that are in favorable conditions. These people have been mistreated and insulted. They're anxious and they're wanting. But the answer is blessing, thanksgiving, and prayer. He has to be our source. First Corinthians, you guys give me a little bit more time, are you all right? 1 Corinthians 10 16. It says, "Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ?" Excuse me. "Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body. For we partake of one loaf." See, the other thing that we have to focus on first is the joy and the praise and where that comes from, where our emotional health comes from. Is it in the goodness of God or the present conditions? But secondly, we have to grab a hold of unity. Because now is when what we really believe about unity is going to be tested, or is already being tested. Being able to do life with people that agree with you is something that anybody can do. It's easy to grab all the people that look like you, think like you, and agree with you, and gather them around you and say, "This is unity." Now it may be, but I don't believe that it's one body. See, we're called to unity. We're called to be connected, not to agree. Now, of course, the things that connect us, as the verse in 1 Corinthians talks about, our connection is the body and the blood of Christ, not our political views, not our views on what should happen or shouldn't happen, or laws that should be passed, or freedom that should be given. It's not the thing that glues our unity together. It's not the thing that holds us together. Tim shared with me a little bit ago, we were having this conversation about the challenge of having a conversation. Just the challenge of having a conversation about differing opinions. Because somewhere down deep in this core of, and I don't know, I'm American, so I can't speak as any other nationality. But I know that deep in the core of Americans is this drive to win. This drive to win. And so when we have conversations about a differing opinion, deep down this thing is bubbling up to win, to convince. And it's, and we believe, like I said before, we believe so much in ourselves that we see somebody else and we know that if you don't agree with me and I think I'm smart, but you don't think like me, you must be not smart. And so we isolate and we humiliate and we again drive a stake at the vision. I've said for years that we always have to leave room for what we don't know. It's not just a good saying. I'll say this with as little offense. Please don't take offense, but I got to rethink the words for a second because in my brain I was offended. In this room, all of us, there's a lot more ignorance than there is knowledge. We know a lot less than we know. We know a lot of things. I mean, there's tons of wisdom, and I'm not diminishing that. But there's more that we don't. Are you guys okay? I'm in the room too. I'm including myself. It's actually quite a freeing thought. We're going to take communion together. And we're going to take communion together because we are a divided group of people. Not just on one issue, or not just on the president, or not just on what. We're just divided. We're divided generationally. We're divided by our genders. We're divided by where we came from. We're divided by, and now we have one more thing. We're divided by our political stance, and it's more obvious than it ever has been, in my experience. And so we're going to remember together why we're here. We're going to remember the source of our joy and our praise. It's the goodness of God and the faithfulness of God, and that His love will endure forever, and that we are the sheep of His pasture. And we're going to remember, and we're going to remember why we're connected. We're going to remember our unity. We're going to remember by taking communion together that it's not our political views or our age or our gender or our understandings that connect us, but it's the body and the blood of Christ. Are we taking communion? I think we are, but I'm not seeing any communion things coming in. Sorry. Surprise. No, I know somebody's ready. You guys are awesome. I can keep talking forever, so that you have time. No, but that's what we're going to do. We're going to take communion together, and then we're going to go on our way, and we're going to celebrate Thanksgiving with our crazy families. Yeah, quite. Yeah. I have to celebrate my Thanksgiving with the Ballatons, so I'm like up on craziness. Yeah. Strong opinions and, yeah. It's awesome. But I want to repeat this. I said it in the beginning. I want to say it again, that in your stance, when you're standing on your... Thank you, Brian. When you're thinking through, when you're holding on to your passion and your opinion, whether you feel like you won or you feel like you lost, remember that someone close by, within the sound of your voice, feels the opposite. And it's not because they're stupid. It's not because they're ignorant. It's just because they're different. If we can't be connected and let people be different, we're still failing at reaching the world. We still are. We failed in the 70s and 80s with the homosexual community. The church failed. No matter how you look at it or slice it, we've absolutely failed. We hated people we were supposed to love because we didn't understand them and we didn't agree with them and we couldn't figure out how to change them and fix them. And so we hated them. And now we have this division. It's like the Grand Canyon between, and we realize like, oh my gosh, we need to love these are people. We need to love people. But we've already created this chasm that's almost uncrossable. Let's not participate in doing it again. It doesn't just mean unity in this room. It doesn't mean, listen, all Christians don't think like you. Everybody that's following Jesus didn't come to the same conclusion as you did. Are you guys okay? You can email me and yell at me, and that's totally okay. That's really, tell me I'm wrong and I'm fine with that. Thanks, Phil. But this next season's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting. But if we can maintain love and connection, then maybe we'll survive. And that wasn't a view of the political. I'm saying the church. I'm saying the church. Because right now the church is on both sides. And if the church can't cross, if the church can't love, if the church can't encourage and understand and seek to be connected, what hope does the world have? What hope do they have if we can't do it? If we can't do it with this and this? how can we expect anybody? Would you guys stand with me, if you can? If you can, yeah. If you can't, it's okay. Sit down. I just feel like it's okay if you can't. It's all right. But I want to pray that Fenton said something that was so great this morning about a prayer that he prayed that I'm going to misquote you probably, but that the Lord would break his heart for the things that break God's heart. And I want to tell you that. The division in our country, I just feel God's heart's broken for it. And I want to partner with that brokenness. Not that we would be broken, but that we would understand and carry the fact that God loves the world. That God so loved the world. And that our heart would break when division is the most newsworthy thing going on. Maybe that didn't come out right, but you know what I mean. Thank you. So I want to just pray. We're going to take communion in a second, but I want to pray. I just want to pray that God will break our hearts for this challenge. That He would make us aware of our words, of our stance. Lord, make us aware. You can put your hand on your heart. If you want. God, break our hearts. Make us aware of our neighbors, of our friends, whether we're mourning this or whether we're celebrating it. Make us aware. Break our hearts for the people that your hearts are broken for. That unity is important to you. That understanding, not agreeing, understanding is important to you. That communication is important to you. That love is important to you. That forgiveness and grace and mercy are important to you. And remind us that it's not our opinions, it's not our church building, it's not our denominations, it's not our political views, it's not our age, but it's the blood and the body of Christ that unify us. Remind us every day. When He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." That was a big piece of bread. It's going to take a minute. In the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Lord, again, we just thank You. That You are bigger than governments, presidents, countries, misunderstandings, misdirection. We thank You, Lord, that You are bigger. And we thank You, Lord, that our bond is bigger. Our connection is bigger. That we're connected because we drink of one Spirit. That we're under one covenant. We are the body of Christ. Break our hearts for a broken nation, a nation divided against itself. Give us opportunity, passion, and understanding to bridge a gap, to be the connection, to hold on to connection. Lord, we pray for our leadership. Whether we agree or disagree.